Welcome to the No Fucks Given podcast with me, your host, Holly Lamb. This podcast is dedicated to empowering women just like you to embrace menopause as their superpower. Say goodbye to hiding in the shadows. It's time to reclaim your personal strength and shine brightly. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. This week I have an amazing guest. I'm joined by Sophie Bell, who is a trauma-informed breathwork facilitator and women-centered coach. So welcome, Sophie. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Holly. Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you.
How was that introduction? Did I miss anything? Is there anything else you want to include in that?
The only thing is quite a new thing, which is I have just founded a platform, which is an evolution of my breathwork platform called The Feminine Edge.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. So everyone always is like, oh, tell me more. I like So it's essentially, and it kind of encompasses everything I do that you just mentioned. It's a platform that really empowers everyone. You know, I use women-centered coaching, but actually this works really well on anyone who wants to embrace more femininity, kind of intuitive, compassionate, open energy within them.
Nice.
But actually as a real strength, as a real source of power. So you're going into what feels like the softer stuff of vulnerability, but actually what comes out is that edge and that uniqueness that you feel really, really confident in. So it's a platform where I bring all of that together and really helping people build those unshakable, strong foundations within themselves to really rise up and feel really proud of who they are and have a very regulated nervous system at the same time.
Yeah, which is definitely needed as women, because we definitely live in a very masculine-centered world, especially at the moment. Absolutely. Where we're very much do, 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 and if you're not doing that, then you're seen to have been lazy or not doing enough. And as women, we need to embrace more of the feminine and realize that's the main part of us. And that's kind of the kind of work I'm kind of diving into a bit more now with the menstruality leadership program that I'm doing and bringing in more of the feminine. So this is going to work quite well, and I think we'll have a really good conversation around this,
because
it's I think it's coming more to the forefront now. I think women are starting to lean more into their femininity more and seeing it as a positive thing and as a strong thing rather than a weakness. I don't know if that's kind of what you've come across when doing this work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really going from those belief patterns that have kept us in the doing so much, like the classic ones that I'm not enough, I'm alone, I'm invisible. And those are the three main patterns that are seen across women in terms of our subconscious beliefs. Mm. So actually moving out of that and rejecting shame, because 80% of girls and women internalize shame from a negative outcome, but honestly, even probably a neutral outcome.
Yeah.
Something we may perceive as negative. We internalize that shame. We feel like we could have done better. And there's also then that sense that we, you know, 80% of women don't actually feel, they do feel that they lack in confidence. So the shame compounds that. And then we have this sense of needing to suffer in order to connect with others. And that being the way that we can amplify each other and come together, when actually there needs to be a change and a shift in the way that we view ourselves and that positivity that we can feel in who we are. And allowing ourselves to connect on that level, amplifying other women, lifting them up, and actually all coming together and really rising and making it a wonderful movement, not just a kind of one leader who's a bit masculine, who happens to be a woman, but we love what she does, but we could never quite be like her, you know, because I think that's the way that it's been. And I think it's so exciting that there's this shift and this real need to bring femininity to everyone, because it's such a positive thing, and it just means that we give permission to each other to be who we really are. And of course there are skills and there are growth opportunities, and there's a need for structure in certain parts of our life, like business or, you know, even moving house. There are things that we need to actually do, and that's kind of the masculine energy. But if we can tap into that, you know, empowered masculine, empowered female, and not feel that we need to be passive in either, which kind of is where what the default is, then it really is going to have such a positive ripple effect. You know, if you start working on this personally, it has a ripple effect on you and your family. And then, you know, you can just watch that kind of just move out now and have a positive impact. So it's a really wonderful thing and a really important thing as well.
Yeah, I can definitely feel the shift. I've been reading a book called The Goddess Path by Kirsty Gallagher, and about how the feminine is rising, about how the goddess is rising, and how to work with different goddesses depending on what you kind of need into your life. And the thing she was saying about healing the sister wounds and how women have always torn other women down. And if you think back to like the early 2000s when there was like Heat magazine and it was like the circle of shame and all those things like cellulite, and it's like it's just normal women things, but it was made, you were made to kind of like look at them and degrade them rather than to lift women up. And I think even through school as well, you know, girls picking on other girls, whereas if now we look at it as a way to lift each other up, rise with each other, celebrate one another, even to the point of celebrating your menstrual cycle, which is so, is also looked upon as dirty or horrible and something we have to endure, where actually if you look deeper into it, it's something to be celebrated. And that's how we can really lean deep into the feminine. But that book I highly recommend if anybody wants to dive more into working with the different goddesses. That's amazing.
Yeah, that does sound amazing. And yeah, you've really hit on something which is so important, which actually there are fundamental things about being a woman that we are made to feel ashamed of. And even, you know, saying the word period, like you can feel it in your body, especially if you say it in a public place. I remember going out for dinner with my friends and I said it, and I was, the waiter had come up and I was so embarrassed, and my friends were embarrassed, he was embarrassed, and it was just so wrong because it's such a normal thing. And I think we've been made to think that we should represent this perfect ideal of what society believes is a goddess, when actually there's so much more to it, and there's so much beauty in the feminine form, and you know, and it's actually, there's beauty in individuality as well, and being different, and you start seeing things differently. And it's really a lack mindset that keeps us in that, you know, there aren't enough men for us, or you know, partners for us, there aren't enough, there isn't enough leadership, there's not enough opportunities, there's not enough money, and if we want too much money, we're not, you know, we're greedy. It's all these different things. It's such a lack mindset, whereas if we can open up to there being enough for all of us and all of our needs being allowed to be met, then we can, you know, that can really help. And actually starting to change our behavior, so celebrating other women, that is such a powerful message to your subconscious that there's enough for all of us. So if we can just start changing our behavior, that again has a ripple effect. I mean, how nice does it feel when someone says something positive about you, like you feel so good and they feel good, and then you might then do that for someone else. So if you think of it so simply, it really can have that impact when we act like there's enough for all of us.
Yeah, and there is a lot of lack, and especially within the media. I mean, I don't watch the news anymore because it's just lack, and I just don't want that in my subconscious or my world. So I just don't. I know enough to get by what's going on in the world, but I just don't need that in my daily life because I'm already on this vibration and I don't want all this negative energy brought into it. And I think it's so true. We do, a lot of us come from that lack mindset, especially with the cost of living. You can't afford this, where actually if you just stop and just think, look what I have. I've got a house, I've got a job, I've got food, I've got a car. You know, all these things that we should be really, really grateful for every single day that we just bypass because we're looking at our neighbour who's got a nicer car or whatever it is. And I think the media has a lot to answer for that. So if you can kind of shut that out and become your own little bubble, you just feel so much better about everything, basically.
Yeah, it's so true. And there's actually no need for this constant narrative either about what's going on. And I know that if there's something we can do to help, then that's kind of a different situation. But like, for example, my dad gets obsessed with the news. Like, he is obsessed with the war in Ukraine. And I think for him, it feels like if he knows about it, he's almost giving them his sympathy. And, you know, he needs to know because he wants, I mean, there is part of him who wants to understand it, but he gets really down about it. And I just think, what good is that doing? You know, why don't you take some action with that as well and think, you know, if something's really bothering you, then go and take some action. Don't just keep internalizing information. We don't actually need more information. We can actually just, you know, move forward and, yeah, empower ourselves to create change.
Yes.
Or, you know, and be grateful for what we have, like you said. I kind of went off on a tangent there.
No, it's fine. Go for it.
It is so true. And I think you're just what you said about the cost of living crisis. Like, actually, the majority of people I know aren't getting directly impacted. It might mean they don't get to go on as many holidays.
Yeah.
But no one is, I know, is really suffering from it. But there's a constant narrative. And it's detracting from all the wonderful things they have in their life. And, you know, maybe being a bit more creative about the holidays they go on, or actually getting to go and see the friends or family who they could go and visit. I think it's, but yeah, when you're like, oh, I can't go on that holiday, that's, you know, that's not going to do anyone any good.
No, just having a negative mindset about, I know that I do have friends that are very much negative, negative, negative. Yeah. And I have to get to a point where I just have to put those kind of boundaries in place and say, I don't want to be involved in this conversation, or I don't see them as much, because it just brings your energy down. And that's, you don't want that. You want to stay in this high vibe, which, and it's not about being toxic positivity. It's not about that. It's just having boundaries and putting them in place. And I think as women, we probably find that the most difficult to do, because we feel like that's been selfish, we should do more. And I think then that comes back down to the masculine side of it rather than embracing the feminine. And especially this kind of compounds in perimenopause as well, because the anxiety levels start to raise, then you're overthinking everything, and then you think you should be doing more, and it's like this constant cycle that you get into. Because I know you've worked with perimenopausal women as well, so how does your work kind of help them to bring that anxiety levels down?
I think it's really about loving themselves, actually. And you touched on something which is, I think, really important, which is that sense that for with high vibration you think you need to be in this kind of toxic positive world, but actually it's really not about that. It's actually about coming back to yourself and having compassion for who you are and getting to know who you are, and actually seeing the benefits of filling your cup first, and that being a positive, having a positive impact on the people you love. So anxiety is a direct impact. I think it's belief patterns when you can change that I'm not enough, because when you're constantly doing, you know, it's very easy to see that that is coming from a lack mindset, which is that I'm not enough pattern. And so when you can change that on a deep subconscious level and start to gather evidence that you are enough, that you are worthy and deserving of the things you want, and the love, and I think coming back to love. And so if that looks like you need to have a day on the sofa watching TV, that's okay.
Yes.
You know, when it becomes a kind of more low vibrational thing, it's when you're on your phone scrolling, you're on your laptop at the same time, you know, you're getting snappy with people, you're not regulating, like that's when it's not great. But if you're going, you know what, I need a day on the sofa and I'm just going to give that to myself, that is wonderful. So meeting your needs and understanding your needs and just giving yourself that opportunity to connect with yourself. And I love breath work for this, because not only does it physically calm your nervous system, which has a directly positive impact on anxiety, but I can't even tell you the profound connection you feel with yourself. I've tried so many alternative things, and this was like a bolt of lightning. It's just incredible, because you're healing yourself. You know, you're connecting and feeling that confidence and that alignment comes just from being conscious of the breath and then going into more deep and rhythmic breathwork sessions. But you're also giving your body the space to feel and process trauma and tension. And I know that trauma is a big word, but actually we all experience mini traumas all the time. So just giving yourself that space to let go and really heal and restore is just the most wonderful feeling. And I always have these conversations with my clients where they've taken that leap of faith and we've started working together, and you know, we've gone into stuff more consciously, but then done that subconscious release through breath work, and they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, I know. Amazing. Thank you for doing this. Because it's just unbelievable. So yeah, having that deeper connection, regulating your nervous system, and doing the things that you really love as well. Like stop doing stuff that you feel you have to do. Like, you know, you can find love in boring jobs, or, you know, I always use the laundry as an example. Like I was getting to a point where I was just so fed up with the laundry. It was never completed, and I was always just really resentful of everyone in the house. And then I was like, I reframed it, and I thought, you know what, I get to do this. I have kids, I'm lucky. I've wanted kids, and that's what, you know, I've got what I wanted, and I have a family, and I'm really grateful, and I love my family, and I actually get to wash, you know, I get to wash their clothes. And that sounds silly maybe, but it's actually just, and also using that moment as a time to just do a mundane job as well, it's actually a really helpful way when you can find these things that you may resent to find positivity but also presence in them. That's my benchmark. So if I start resenting the laundry, I'm like, okay, I need to go in with
I need a break. Yeah, it's so true about breath work, because I do it and I absolutely love it. And I do meditation, but I find I can connect to myself more with doing breath work, even just like 5 minutes. I mean, I started with Wim Hof. That's how I got into it. Yeah. And then I've been to a few like day retreats where we do proper breath work, you know, like 10 rounds, and then you go into the ice bath and all that kind of stuff. And it does really help to regulate my anxiety when going through early menopause. It's so much better now because I've got all these little tools in my toolbox to help. But breath work is one of those top ones to help when I'm feeling really overwhelmed and feeling really anxious. And a lot of people are like, I'm not sure. I don't know what it's all about. Even my husband is like, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, come on. But I've not got him there yet. But honestly, like the it's helped me so much. And I just wish so many more women would, especially going through perimenopause, would just give it a go and just try it, because it can completely change your life.
It really, really can. And I had absolutely no intention of becoming a breath facilitator, but I did it and I was like, oh my God, I have to do this. And yeah, I mean, for me, I got into it because I had prenatal anxiety. So although it wasn't related to menopause, it was anxiety and hormonal related as well. And it just made it, it changed everything. Like it completely changed everything. And it's also, you know, there's kind of the calming factor and the like stress reduction, but it's also really empowering that, like, you can actually really, especially when people talk about manifestation and wanting to, you know, moving through fear and doubt, visualizing what you want, it's amazing for that, because sometimes you don't know why we don't want something. You know, it might feel like, say, take a money goal, for example, because I think that money goals are always really helpful because they bring up everything.
Yeah.
Say you're kind of, you know, moving to the next money goal, and you sit with it and you breathe with it, like you will feel the resistance, and you might not know why it's there, and you might never consciously know why. Like, stuff does come up through breath work, and you may get some clarity around feelings or tension that have been passed down either through actual physical tension and conversations in as a child often, but even that sense of lack that's kind of goes back through generations too. And we can actually let go of that through breath work and empower ourselves and feel that, you know, sometimes we don't like to see ourselves as a vision of success because it's scary, and who's done it before in the way we want to do it? Hardly anyone. But it can help us to embody that, really. It is about embodiment, which is such a helpful way of feeling grateful and present, but also expanding towards your goals as well. So that really lovely kind of duality of being content but excited for more.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like, I think breath work as well and practicing something called menstrual cycle awareness. So being present in which part of the cycle you're in and tagging that with breath work can really help you to become more in tune with your body. Especially around, so I use different terms, which is part of the Red School. So inner winter, which is your period.
Okay.
So it's the four seasons. So inner spring is your follicular, your inner summer is your ovulation, your inner autumn is your luteal, and then your inner winter is your period. So that's how they break it down. And I resonate that with that so much more than the technical terms.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a book called Wild Power, and it's fantastic. It breaks it all down.
Okay.
So to be in your inner winter, you can really tap into your intuition. To do breath work at that time as well, you can really drop into your body and you can really, like you say, help to manifest, help to see where the resistance is in your body, because that's when you are most in tune as a woman with your intuition, when you're menstruating. And I think a lot of that's been lost over the years, like back in the day. I mean, you used to have like red tents where women would go and menstruate together and celebrate together. And that's just been lost, which is a real shame. But as we can see, things are shifting and the feminine is rising. And I think using breath work and all these little tools can really help to bring you back into your feminine more. And that's what I really want to do. And by the sounds of it, that's what you really want to do with your work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just so wonderful to just be, you know, actually just go, oh, I can actually just be me.
And yeah.
I used to struggle with the concept of getting back to me, especially after kids. People used to say, oh, I can't wait, I just want to get back to who I was. And I was like, I don't really know. I just found that really confusing, actually, because I didn't necessarily have an amazing relationship with myself before I had kids. And now I think I have a great relationship with myself, but I think that first step is actually just allowing yourself to be, so just stopping and just going, how am I actually feeling right now? What are my needs right now? And just starting there, and then that's where, you know, and being open and vulnerable with yourself, that's where you can really create strong roots in who you are and just understand who you are, because you feel it. You don't really need to know, like, oh, I'm this person, I do this. You don't have to label yourself, but just being you.
Yeah, and it's hard just to sit and be with your thoughts and yourself. But I think as we head into perimenopause, it does become a time of initiation where you do actually have to kind of face yourself and go, right, who am I? Who really am I? And just start being that person, because you get to a point. I mean, that's why the podcast is called No Fucks Given, because you get to a point where you literally don't care, and it's fantastic. Like, and to just get to that point, and if you can get to that point even before you reach perimenopause, then your menopause journey is just going to be so, so much easier, because you're already content with yourself and you're already in tune with your body. And it's just an amazing place to be at. And that's why I want to help women get to that point and not fear themselves.
Yeah, I love that. Even at the weekend, I went away with a group of my friends, and they were all like, oh my god, and then we've got the menopause. And I was like, guys, I have heard that the menopause is actually great.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, good for you, but like, it's definitely not. And I was like, well, you just wait, because it will be. And like, you know, I think because I've been on such a self-development journey, and they've definitely, different friends have delved into different things, but I think they haven't necessarily prioritized it or hasn't been a need for it. Whereas, I really feel that. So it's actually changing that perspective on how you develop as a woman. And apparently, I don't know which culture, but it's actually seen as like a real celebration of wisdom. And
yes.
Yeah, and I was trying to explain that to them, but I couldn't remember the exact term. But I was like, guys, we need to change our perspective, because if you go into something dreading it, of course it's not going to be good. You're going to find every reason that you resent it. But actually, if you can be open to change, and like you said, actually embracing who you are, then that is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, I can't remember like which culture, but there was like tribes where the women were celebrated as wise women, as elders who had tapped into their intuition and were kind of like the medicine women, and they had all this knowledge, and just because of the life that they've lived, and they've got to this point now where people come to them for advice. And that's rather than being seen as you're a menopause, you're on the scrap heap, which is unfortunately what the narrative around it is at the minute, and it's very negative and it's very much looking at symptoms. Whereas actually if you like zoom out and try and look at it from a different narrative, it's a time of initiation, expansion, growth, and stepping into a new power, a new like unapologetic, authentic you, which is amazing. Like, and that's just what I want to spread. I want to get that narrative off and get this new narrative in.
Yeah. I'm also going to send them this podcast.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
This is the evidence, okay?
This is a true story. 100%. Yeah, because the more people understand about it, the easier menopause transition will become, because more women will be aware of it rather than what the media tells you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just wanted to get back to the breathwork a little bit and just ask you if there was any kind of specific techniques or anything that someone could do, maybe just to kind of dip their toe in and see, oh, what can I do to kind of see what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that there are three places you can start actually, and they're all easy. So the first one is just actually breathing properly, because when you're stressed out, you're in a state of fight and flight, and your breathing gets into that habit. So if you could just breathe properly, it takes no time. You can do it right now as you're listening to the podcast. You just really simply relax the shoulders, breathe into the belly, and just make sure that you're breathing in and out through the nose. So that in itself, checking that throughout the day, you know, if it's not something you naturally remember, then just putting a reminder on your phone or noticing when you get stressed, if you could just come back to that, that proper kind of breathing technique, that relaxed breathing state. So that's the first one. And the second way is just to learn a couple of really easy techniques that are going to support you throughout the day. So something that I always come to, my absolute favorite, is called the 4-7-8. So you breathe in for four, you hold for seven counts, and you breathe out for eight. Now, just on this, if the hold's too big, if the count is, if the exhale feels uncomfortable, just shift it. The most important thing, part of that, is that you're holding it. That activates the vagus nerve. And the slowing of your exhale also activates the vagus nerve. So you're really calming your system down. And you will notice if you do that, whether you're in bed or and can't sleep, or if you're nervous about to go to a meeting, or, you know, you're just feeling overwhelmed, just doing that for a few minutes is really, really going to help. And it's scientifically proven that just 3 minutes a day of breath work, of conscious steadying the breath, has a positive impact on your overall vitality and health. Wow. So really 3 minutes, and it doesn't have to be exclusively doing breath work. You can be doing the laundry, you can be walking, you can be on the train, wherever, you can be in the car, you know, try not to, if you're feeling really tired, try not to extend your exhale, but it is safe to do anywhere. So those two. So breathing properly and just learning a couple of techniques. If you can't remember anything, just extending your exhale is positive. And then doing regular, deep and rhythmic breath work is what's really going to make a difference overall. It's going to connect you. It's going to release tension. If you're able to do slightly longer sessions, and if you work with a breath work facilitator, it's incredibly powerful to go deeper into old stories. I mean, I can obviously do as much breath work as I want on my own, but when I go and see a breath work facilitator, which I do on a regular basis, it's just having that guidance and that space held for you is incredibly powerful. But you can do, I mean, there are loads of ones on Spotify, on YouTube. Like, it's not hard to find guided sessions. And I've got loads of stuff on the Feminine Edge if, you know, people were interested in what I'm talking about generally, because there are also supportive masterclasses and journaling and everything to do with femininity. But, you know, there's also that library of audios where you can tap into things, because breathwork really does support you on every level. But if you just want to find something right now, go on Spotify, go on YouTube, find a guided session, and just follow it and do that a few times a week, and you will really will notice a difference.
Yeah, I funnily enough had a little health checkup, and they did the breath and they with the lung capacity, and they were like, "You've got the lungs of a 25-year-old." I was like, "Oh, thanks so much! Thank you so much!" Because I've been doing breath work, because I do it every day, because you breathe in properly, and I was like, "That's amazing."
Yeah, like, and you've got a really strong immunity as well, I bet.
Yes, exactly. I very rarely get ill when everyone's got the bugs and stuff. I just don't pick them up. And yeah, I highly recommend breath work and go and check out Sophie's stuff. I'm going to put all your details in the show notes, because it sounds amazing. That feminine edge, it sounds fantastic. It sounds exactly what women need at the moment, to tap into that femininity, just to kind of dip their toe in and see what's going on and see what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's a lovely community, and I only launched it last week, so it's also really intimate at this point. And we do group coaching and things, so there really is that opportunity to actually untangle things and get new perspectives and learn how to, you know, love and connect with yourself as well.
Oh, amazing. Well, I think we'll leave it there, because that was just a lovely ending to it. That was so lovely. Thank you so much for joining me, Sophie. It's been amazing. I've absolutely loved this conversation. And like I said, I'll put all the information in the show notes so everybody can check you out and connect with you and see what breathwork is all about.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Holly.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining this week. And I will see you next week for episode 7.